Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
We're back. It's the Didcast. I'm Drew. That's Roth. Say hi, Roth.
Hi, man. How's it going?
Oh, that's perfect. As always.
I tried to sound extra Muppety today.
There was someone, I think it was Lewis, who was like, hey, what's up? And I was like, whoa, he actually is excited. And that was like a real change of pace.
Yeah. It's basically him sounding excited and Patrick Redford having like that, like, what's up, YouTubers, delivery, which he does not sustain for an entire podcast. Everybody else is at my energy level or below, which is perfect.
Someone the other day showed me a tweet. This podcast has evolved into. Did you see that tweet? And it was someone who said that British people pronounce YouTube, YouTube, which I thought was perfect. And that's all I think about now.
It's one of my favorite jokes, that particular bit of British pronunciation. That is a good tweet. I've always, these tweets did not do well for me, but I'm going to go ahead and relitigate that.
Please
here.
Do.
I had the idea of Jeremy Irons doing an ad for FanDuel where he would pronounce it FanJuel. Something about that particular accent hitting those sounds in the dumbest possible online words. I think it scores. I think it's all right.
You could win a shot of insulin. Great.
A shipload? No, that's such a typo. Yes.
You know, he would be good for that because he's the sort of highfalutin British dude who's won an Academy Award, but also just a shit.
Oh,
like the Dungeons and Dragons movie. Like, he has no problem.
Yep. Presumably he just has like a really nice lifestyle and like needs to like keep up some like 15th century home that he has.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no hate on it. The only thing that makes me sad is when I see Clive Owen doing SAP ads because he could have been Bond. And he decided to do more. He said he wanted to do more interesting stuff, but now he's doing SAP ads, and I'm like, Clive.
Yeah, he's done a lot of like advertising stuff for a guy that it would have been a terrific James Bond, and still has had like a cool career and made cool movies and stuff.
Oh, but yeah,
doing like a TV show, and then he did like some like BMW limited series where you could like only watch it on your in-dash video screen on a BMW or something. And I'm like, I'm sure I've watched those movies.
They did a series of like. This was before native advertising was really native advertising, where they hired a bunch of hotshot directors and made like almost like four or five short films that were like 10 minutes long.
Yeah. And it was like Ridley Scott or something. It was like a good director and Clive Owen. And I was like, well, I would see that, but like I don't have like the right type of app on my phone to watch it on.
Yeah. One of them was actually good. I had no compunction about saying it was good because the only diktat that they gave to these guys was to have a BMW in the movie, and that was it. Which obviously, that's still quite a condition to apply. But a couple of them were pretty good. One was called Ticker that was pretty good.
Yeah, that seems like if you put those people together and didn't put too much on them, it is just weird that that's like we're now in this era of like advertising where there are things that are like actually. I don't know if this is us being washed or if it's just that advertising companies are smarter with this, but like things that are. Good and cool that you would want to participate in, like a Ridley Scott, Clive Owen, like collaboration, or there's like a restaurant, like a Danny Meyer restaurant that's basically just like a Lexus showroom.
Yes, in New York.
Yeah.
Where you walk
and
up and they have
go there, man. It's supposed to be good, but I don't
want to. I would go to the Lexus restaurant.
Yeah, but I think like in order to get in, like you'd have to like sit in a Lexus and be like, very nice. And then they're like, all right, we'll show you to your table. Like,
the pursuit of perfection cafe.
It's all about, yeah. In order to get in, you have to drop a ball bearing on a hood and watch it roll around. And then when it's done, you're like, you get to have an amuse-bouche.
Every dish there should be $10,000 and come with like a big fucking Christmas ribbon on top. And they should play the fucking Christmas jingle where you're like, do, 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 do. And you're like, ah.
I like the idea that you have to haggle with the server to be like, he's like, my boss is not going to let me give you the truffle supplement. Let me go in the back office and ask him. But this is not something we can just go around doing, okay?
It's amazing to me that everyone hates those ads and have hated them for like 20 years, and yet they still run them because they work, because people love to hate them, but they'll still buy a Lexus because they still like are aware that that's the fancy pants brand because they hate it so much because it's so fancy.
Yeah, it's like a complicated understanding of how like aspirational branding works, because every time you see it and it's some like fucking exurban manse with like turrets. And the guy like wakes up, his, like some idle rich dude wakes his wife up and is like, I got you another sedan. Or anyway, I had the assistant do it. And like, in you see that and you start thinking about like guillotines and like expropriation. Like if you're a normal person, that's what you think about. But then also there's a part of you that's like, well, if you have a lot of money and you get a manse, like a thoughtful gift for your spouse would be a luxury sedan. And you can just have, and it'd be like, maybe a Lexus would be a good one. They look good in a bow.
There was one year, and they've gotten like a little bit more self-aware now. Like they have actual minorities in the ads now and stuff like that. But before there was one where the family, like the dad and the mom sit down the teenager and they're like, well, we decided to get you a computer this year. And he's like, aw. And then they flash the keys and he's like, oh, and he runs out into their gigantic circular driveway and sees a fucking Lexus Commando vehicle, and he's like, no way.
Unless that ad ends with like a helicopter gunship lighting the entire family up, if something is really wrong.
Anyway,
yeah,
and that in the spirit of this being an evergreen podcast, we're just gonna talk about Christmas.
Yeah, seriously, this is gonna rerun like holiday week when we're all sitting around in our footy pajamas.
All right, let's get into the fun bag. You ready, Roth?
Hell yeah, buddy.
All right.
So that's the highest I go. That's it. I'm in the red.
Mike writes in, have you ever knowingly, purposefully littered? I'm 43 and I don't think I have ever, yet there is trash all over the place. When's the last time you littered, Roth?
Littered like you just like put some gum in your mouth, ball the wrapper up and are just like, bah, and just like throw it over your shoulder?
Yeah, literal littering.
I don't think I've ever done that.
Ever in your life?
I mean, I probably have done it like, I think the closest I could come is if I'm like eating, say I'm a man on the go and disgusting and my lifestyle is embarrassing. So say I'm eating a slice of pizza on the street off a paper plate and then I'm done with it. And then I like take the weird translucent oil napkins that I've been using to daub my hideous maw and I stuff them into the paper plate and I ball it up and I try to shoot it at a garbage can and maybe I miss. Okay. I don't always follow my shot.
But
I think that was like probably like a dirtbag Davey move from like 10 years ago. I think at this point, like I follow my shot. Like I'll pick up, like if I see like a plastic bag blowing along on the street and it's not like obviously got dog poop in it, like I'll pick it up and put it in a garbage can. Like I don't want to live like that.
Yeah, I would be too proud to not follow up my shot because it would be like leaving the gym without making a free throw. Like I just would.
Yep. Yeah, it's cursed.
I want to end on a good note.
Mm-hmm. That is, so, it's good to know I'm not the only one that has that particular neurosis. But yeah, like for the most part, I mean, I guess I've seen people do it, but it's a weird thing. It's like kind of like a baby pigeon sort of scenario where like, yes, there's trash everywhere. That's obviously correct. And yet like seldom do I see people be like, oh, whatever, fuck it, blah, and just like toss a sandwich into the street or something like that.
Right. Or just throwing a burrito into Jack Black's car or something. Right.
Like yeah, like have you...
Does it count as littering if it's biodegradable? Like if I throw an apple core into a bush, because I'll do that.
You know, I like to assume that nature finds a way there. I'd like to know more about the scenario where you polish off an apple and are just like, bam, and just fire it into a hedge. When was the last time that happened?
Probably within the last few years where I was probably walking outside, walking the dog or something and eating an apple. And then I don't want to walk around with a fucking apple core in my hand getting all sticky and all that shit. So if I'm near like a path or something, I just chuck it in the path.
Yeah, I get that in the sense that like the apple core will be taken care of, you know, that like animals will eat it or it will biodegrade. The weird thing is when you see food waste that's like, I don't even it's like illegally dumped or whatever. I'm thinking about there's like a block in my neighborhood where like a sushi place that's now closed. We'd walk by there on Saturdays, you know, to go to the bakery as one does. And there would just be shrimp shells and avocado pits, like a little pile of them. Just that. And those seem like things that you could use those shrimp shells. You could make a stock out of it. I'm not.
You
even
can make a
stock.
I was just thinking that. Why that's would, how old we are.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's definitely stock. That's the stage where we are. Where it's not like, oh, wild night, man. Like I ate a bunch of shrimp shells off the sidewalk. It's more like, oh, well, you know, a savory, like a savory stock would add depth to any risotto.
Yeah, add a bay leaf.
Yeah, but it was, and then that place closed, and then like the avocado pits and shrimp shells were gotten rid of. But I was like, those don't go in a garbage bag. Like they don't go. You can't do some other thing with them?
Yeah, wouldn't they be seized upon by like 8 million rats and cockroaches within half a second?
I mean, maybe there was shrimp in the shells. Maybe the, like, whatever, the sophisticated, opposable thumb-ass rats in my neighborhood, like, made quick work of it. But
does it count as littering if it's a liquid? Like, I was working a swim meet because parents have to work it. And I was working it this past Saturday, and I had a coffee, but I didn't want all the coffee. So I just poured some of that shit into the bush before I threw it away.
I think that's,
does that count as littering?
I think that's fine. As long as you don't like, I mean, I don't know. Like it might not be the best thing for the bush, but as long as you don't see it like instantly turn white and die, presumably right. It's fine. Yeah, that doesn't seem that bad to me. The one that,
the bush started shaking. It was like, I have more.
Yeah.
I need more.
It's like sort of levitate slightly. The one that always baffles me, and I know that you did live in New York, so you know this, but although you now live someplace much nicer and cleaner, is during the wintertime when there'll be those, like, snow drifts of, like, shitty, blackened, exhaust snow, and there'll be just garbage studded throughout it.
Yes. And yes, like a cancer, like a tumor that has, like, fucking teeth and hair in it.
Yeah,
shit.
But except for it's, like, Sprite cans and, like, a plastic bottle of Mountain Dew Code Red that just, like, sits there in this... you know, weird mound of snow, like until like April or whatever, until right. like the third 65 degree day. And then like all the garbage is revealed and it's, you know, full hideous form.
It's like the body's thawing on Everest.
Yeah. It really does have that kind of like, how did that get in there? Does somebody like see the like this thing developing and they're like, well, I'm doing my part and like stuff a Subway sandwich in there?
I know what happened. Here's what happened. Because I know New York.
All right.
All right, someone either littered onto the street. Here. Someone either littered onto the street prior to a snowstorm, or in a standard New York move, the corner garbage container got so fucking overflowed with 8 million Starbucks cups and like Big Mac wrappers and all that shit. They just spilled it onto the street like it always does.
Oh, that makes sense. And then they blew into the drift and were covered.
Yeah. Right. Then the plow comes along. Plows it all up, gathers it all up, and it all gets, you know, just sort of amassed together in one big shit pile.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's like how fossils are formed. Although, again, we're talking about Mountain Dew Code Red bottles here.
I know the last time I purposely littered, and because I don't recall doing it just sober.
Yeah, no, that's true.
And irresponsibly, but I...
it's like strongly implied in everything we're talking about here.
Right. I went with some of my old high school chums, back to campus, got loaded on the campus, and then we went to get more beer, and then we were strolling along our train track, and we were drinking like cans and bottles of beer, and just fucking so hammered, and doing the wire thing where you take the bottle and you just chuck it and hear it smash, and you go, so that I did, which is terrible, and please don't do
it. Yeah, I would love to say that I haven't done that, but I think you'd have to go back a little ways, but yeah.
I've definitely littered a beer can or a bottle in my day. And not, I would not, it's not something I'm proud of or anything I would do now that I don't drink at all.
Yeah. You know how it is when you're out with your chums, though.
That's right.
The rules go out the window when it's chum time.
Yeah. Or I might have littered like a cigarette, I mean, like a joint butt. I mean, I don't smoke cigarettes, but like if I were.
That's biodegradable, right?
Is a cigarette filter biodegradable?
Cigarette filter, probably not. But if you're. Well, would you put filters in your joints?
No, that would be great.
Yeah, it's like a very health conscious. It's like it's the new year, new me. Like I'm not getting all that extra tar in my lungs just because I love being high at work.
Like the conscientious blunt. Like I just like take a razor blade and slit open like a fucking Marlboro and take that filter out and replicate it into a rolling paper.
Well, it's like when people roll their own cigarettes. You can put a filter in that. It's most people don't.
You can, but yeah, I don't do that. I am at the point now that I'm green and sober, I still smoke like the regular flowers, you know? Like that's the industry term, flowers. But it's, you know what? It's such a fucking production. Like I'm going to turn to one of those vaping oil guys because I just don't want to deal with like scratching like resin out of a fucking vape pen. And
it seems cleaner and more civilized to smoke the oil. I think, though, in all those cases, as with like edibles and stuff, even like veteran idiots when it comes to getting high, like I think that there's a lot of variance there and you need to be careful with it.
Yeah. I totally, that's part of the reason why I've abstained for a while, because I was like, well, I like my high the way I like my high, but I don't fucking know anything.
Yeah. And then the idea of being like too stoned and being like, I mean, that's like, it's not the worst feeling of being too intoxicated that there is, but like, it does suck. Like, that's not anything that anybody would want to, where you feel stupid and thirsty and you don't know where you're going and everything is like kind of just terrible. It's bad.
Yeah, I don't like it. And I'm aware when it happens, like, because I'll just be sitting there like, well, this sucks. I need a cup of coffee or something like that.
Yeah.
And you just like, you walk around and you're like, what? What was I doing? Like, just.
So that happened to me. I had a bad decision. This was like 2 months ago. It's not even that long ago, involving an edible. And then, you know, which is fine. Like, it's a thing that you do. Like, I took one. My wife took a smaller amount. It's a Saturday night. We watched the movie Eighth Grade, which is excellent.
But
is so uncomfortable. Like, there's so much like awkward eighth grade pool party shit in it. Like, just so much like wince inducing stuff that like I thought I was gonna fucking die. I was miserable. And it was like just the discomfort of it. And then the idea of being like, am I too uncomfortable with this? Is it like, is everybody, you know, like, is this what I'm like? Is this what like being at a party is like now? Why don't I go to more pool parties? Like, I was completely lost to that. I remember the movie fondly, but I remember the feeling that I had in terms of being too high and watching that movie at the same time as being like just kind of as miserable as I've been in the last few years. Like
I would blame the edible for that.
Yep.
Because I feel like if I was smoking like a joint or something, I would love to watch that kind of movie. Like, you know me. Like, I put on fucking Rat first thing I do.
I know. Lit up. It's not like you're famous for like, liking to be upset by things. Like,
No, I just like, it's one of those things where you're nostalgic for something that sucked at the time, but you look back on it fondly for reasons you don't even understand. We're like, I remember back at fucking Maddie R's house and shit. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. No, it's like, it's a sweet movie for sure. It's just, that was just a case of me not knowing how much I was supposed to take.
Yeah, that sounds about right with eating pot. I do not advocate eating pot. Like, I would do the vape oil, but not the edibles, because I've had too many instances where, or I'm already talking too much, but like, someone brought a bunch of pot brownies to a Bob Mould concert and I ate them all and I was like, well, nothing's happening. And then, of course, the hammer drops.
Yep.
You know, half an hour later. And then as an encore, Bob brings out Fred Armisen onto the stage to sing a song. And I'm sitting there like, what? Fred Armisen?
Am I in the TV right now?
Yeah.
Tight.
And it was just like, I would have enjoyed that moment much, much more if I was just shit-faced on beer or something like that.
No, that's true. I mean, not to seem like we're favoring one side or the other, but there's a time and a place for getting shit-faced on beer. Sometimes it's the responsible choice.
Let's roll up this segment and leave it in a gutter for someone else to find. And we'll come right back.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match.
Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We're back. It wouldn't be June if I didn't ask you a needless football question.
Hell yeah,
Roth. It's so football this is from season. Adam, and he writes a very vital question. Can all of the NFL starting QBs dunk? I say no to Brady, Ben, Eli, Rivers, and Breeze. You already know the answer to that, but I'd like to go down the list. Can all of the starting QBs in football dunk?
So I think the answer is no.
The answer is no.
But I think that probably there's a lot of them that, like, guys that, like, one of the people on that list who seems self-evidently like they would be unable to dunk can definitely dunk. But I don't know which one that would be.
I know which one could dunk. I think Ben Roethlisberger can dunk because he's a million feet tall.
And he was a good high school basketball player. I've seen, like, videos of him dunking.
Yeah.
But it was
in
high school. Also, it was before he started weighing, like, 260 or whatever he is now.
Well, that's the other thing. He looks fat and he looks like he's like 80% torso, but then he does all his shit where he pump fakes 5 million times and runs around in the pocket and, you know, buys an extra 12 seconds of time before either launching it downfield and completing it or throwing a hideous interception. So I think he can dunk. Brady is famously unathletic.
Yeah.
So I don't think he can. Eli's probably too old now, though maybe he could before.
They're all pretty tall.
There's
a chance. That's an expert analysis there. Quarterbacks do be tall. I do think, though, that Brady dunking, like, I can't rule it out, but that doesn't, I'm trying to visualize and it's just not happening for me.
Yeah, no, I don't think he can dunk. But Rivers, I bet, can dunk because he's pretty tall and he's very athletic. Breeze is a little bit short. So I would say no to Breeze.
It's too short,
but I would
to
say,
be a superstar quarterback.
I would say at least two of them can dunk.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to go through all the starting quarterbacks now. You just say yes
Let's
or no. Mahomes, he can dunk.
Surely,
yes.
His dad was famous for when his dad was with the Mets for being able to jump from a standing start and grab the top of the batting cage during batting practice and do pull-ups. That's like 11 feet.
That's fucking amazing. Joe Flacco, newly minted Bronco Joe Flacco.
So we're already into some really interesting territory here. Sure, Joe Flacco can dunk. Why not?
Yeah, I think Joe Flacco.
Because he's like 6'5", right?
Yeah, because also, and Flacco's whole thing is presenting himself as boring when he could do all sorts of cool shit and has an actually kind of cool sense of humor about himself. Like when he made fun of Jameis, he'll always have my heart for that.
Yeah.
So,
the Delaware man.
Next up, Derek Carr.
Sure.
I would say yes, except I think he would tear 8 different ligaments in his
knee. Right. I was going to say he could dunk, but like he couldn't land. Like everything would be fine. As long as he hangs onto the rim, everything's good. As soon as he tries to dismount, like his torso erupts in flames.
Brady, you said maybe. I say no. Next up is newly minted Dolphins QB, Josh Rosen.
He's a good athlete. So sure, why not? Do you mind doing Fitzpatrick as well, just in case he winds up taking over there? Because I would love to watch Fitzmagic throw one down.
I don't think Fitzmagic can throw one down.
I'm not sure.
Even though I think he's a good athlete.
He is a good athlete, but I'm not sure that that's exactly something that he's capable of doing at this stage.
Josh Allen, I say absolutely can.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, he's not like a good NFL quarterback, but he can definitely dunk. He's a terrific athlete.
What about Sam Darnold?
That's an interesting one. I feel like you should answer this because he is your son.
He is my son. Yeah.
And your large, rude son.
And, you know, the answer would be no if you just take into account the fact that he's my son. I mean, the genetics would dictate that. But he's also a supremely tall and athletic quarterback from USC, and he's very young. I'm going to err on the side of all the young guys and say yes. So, yes, I think Sam Darnold can dunk.
Yeah, it might not be cool, but it definitely seems like he's still, you know, whatever. Who knows how many years. This would be an interesting thing to observe, how many years of playing quarterback for the Jets it takes before somebody who used to be able to dunk now can't.
Right.
This happened to all
of
them.
How long do you have to mentor? How long does Josh McCown mentor you?
Yeah.
Before you're reduced to doing layups that you can't even make.
Weird, like Bob Cousy things where you're like pulling one leg up and you're like, oh.
Andrew Luck. That's a tough one.
No.
Oh, okay.
Good athlete, but I just feel like his body is crab meat at this point. Like it would be unwise for him to attempt it. I know it's not lower body injuries. I just feel like, I don't know that that's possible.
He seemed awfully capable last year, though. I mean, last year was amazing.
Yeah,
he was great. I really thought his career was kind of over, and tragically so. He came back and had a fucking great year.
It was cool to watch him.
I think
he
can dunk.
Sure. All right. I worry about our goofy neckbeard guy.
I completely agree with you about that. He'd have to wear knee braces and the special knee wraps you wear when you do deadlifts at the gym.
Yeah.
And you're deadlifting 700 pounds. So your knees don't explode. He'd have to wear those, but I think he can dunk.
But if you get him in like the Sigourney Weaver Aliens mech suit and he's like perfectly safe, then yeah, sure, why not?
Deshaun Watson, I say yes.
Sure.
Marcus Mariota.
A terrific athlete in college. I don't know. He's been through a lot, though, hasn't he?
He has. I'm still going to say
yes. My instinct is to say yes. I mean, I feel like to be an NFL quarterback, it's like these guys are all – that's like the definition of it is that they can do things that normal people can't do.
Yeah, that's true. Although the good ones, like, I mean, Brady's the best ever, and his skill set is so specific in terms of, you know, pocket – elusiveness,
yeah,
and a good arm, and obviously, you know, a photographic memory of every fucking play he's ever played and all that stuff. So it's not necessarily about whether or not you can jump through the stadium or not, which brings us to Nick Foles, the starting quarterback of the Jaguars.
Wow, what a beautiful sentence that is. Yeah.
He's tall.
He's tall. He's
got a huge dick.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got length. You said it a little more directly than I did. But yeah, I don't see any reason why not.
Like, is it a dunk if he ties the dick to the ball?
No.
And sort of like, and uses it like a grappling hook, like through the... Does that count as a dunk?
Why is this easier for me to visualize than Tom Brady dunking? I don't care for this at all. Next quarterback.
I'll say that Nick Foles can dunk, although I don't really believe that. Lamar Jackson, I believe, can dunk.
Sure, yeah. I mean, he's like shorter, but that's a super athlete, so yes.
Here's a tough one. Baker. Can Baker dunk?
Yes. I know he's short. I think he's a monster athlete.
He's a monster athlete, but he's not tall. Well,
he's like my height. He's like 6 feet tall? Or is he like taller than that?
I think, I'm just going to look it up.
All right.
6'1".
Yeah, so taller than me and better at playing quarterback. Got to give it up to Baker Mayfield.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say you can't dunk.
Yeah.
I think he's a fantastic athlete, but I'm not trying to sway you either way. But I just don't think he can.
It seems
dunk.
Like something he'd be able to do to me for whatever reason.
Andy Dalton. There's a good one.
Oh. I mean, again,
it's tougher than the Flacco question.
Right. As we keep saying, the answer is probably yes. And yet, like, the default for me is just to imagine, like, Andy Dalton throwing down like a two-handed jam, and buddy, I am not seeing it. I don't know.
He can do one of those weak dunks, you know, where like you say you can dunk, but it's not a terribly impressive.
Yeah, it's
dunk.
Like the James Worthy thing where you somehow like neither your hand nor the ball touches the rim, and you're like, "Well, it was an authoritative layup," is what that was.
Yeah, it's a point guard dunk.
Yeah. So all right, maybe he can do like a. Like a Jason Williams dunk, or like a who's the present master of that sort of like lame dunk? I guess
I was gonna say Steph Curry, but he got his fucking dunk blocked.
He got his stuffed his own shit attempting one. So maybe that's whatever.
Mitch Trubisky, I say yes.
Yeah, I bet it's all leadership though. That's it's
Rodgers.
All
can he dunk?
I think that he would be able to dunk if he thought. That you thought he wouldn't be able to dunk.
I think it's exact.
The power of his like asshole competitiveness would like add an extra 7 inches to his vertical.
If you drew up a play that called on him to lay up, to do a layup, he would do a dunk despite you.
Yeah.
But that's the only way he could possibly do
it. Only if Mike McCarthy drew that play up. Then he would dunk it and be like, that was better and that's what I wanted to do. Yeah.
My team's quarterback, Kirk Cousins.
Well, you field that one.
Fuck no.
It's really hard for me to imagine. Again, another guy that's like, you know, a fucking decent enough NFL quarterback, but, and also not a bad athlete, honestly. Like, he probably suffered from comparison to the people that he played with and around. But no, I can't imagine that. He can't even grill a steak. How's he going to dunk a basketball?
Are quarterbacks the worst athletes on a football team? Like, on excluding kickers and punters and I apologize to kickers and punters, but not really.
Yeah.
Are they the least athletic of all the positions?
I think the ways in which they're athletic are the ones that are least like awe-inspiring. I mean, in some ways they are. You know, like the ability to like make quick judgments, identify things, and then throw a ball that's not necessarily designed to be thrown far, very far. But like something about those, like any of those videos of like Aaron Donald in training camp, like doing like footwork drills where you're just like, fucking how? How is that happening?
Right.
Like any of those are cooler than pretty much anything that any quarterback can do. Just because it doesn't look right to see a guy that's like that big moving his feet like that.
I mean, there are athletic freaks. So like I think Baker Mayfield and like Lamar Jackson are like true freakish athletes. Mm-hmm. So like brilliant. But then you have guys like Kirk who are like, you know, they're athletes, but and they're just sort of only in the doofiest sense.
There's always been, that's always been like a type of quarterback too. These like Brad Johnson type guys where they're just like people that look like they should be like wearing a golf shirt and like selling, you know, like insurance or something like that. And like, but you know, like tall insurance salesmen, not like normal size ones. But there's something about that, like that archetype enduring even as the game is changing is like, maybe they know something that we can't see.
Matt Stafford.
I feel like he'd be, well.
Present day Matt Stafford. You don't get fresh out of Georgia Matt Stafford.
So I'd say no. I'd say that Matt Stafford probably shoots like 74 every time he plays golf. That seems like the type of athlete he is to me now.
Yeah, I bet he can dunk though. I think he's an insane athlete. I think he's got the thing. He's like, got the Big Ben thing where you think he's fat, but he's not fat.
Yeah, no, he's just like deep. But he's also so shredded, like body wise at this point. I don't know, maybe. I mean, I'd love to believe it. I would love to watch a big potato-faced galoot throw one down like that. Like, I'd love to, like, Daniel Jones on the Giants, who is still at the stage in his career where they're like, he's actually quite an athlete. Like, watching Daniel Jones throw down a gnarly dunk would be hilarious to me.
It's true. It's true. Here's another tough one. Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I bet. I mean, not, again, another guy that's not, like, you know, especially thrilling to watch after he takes more than, like, maybe five steps, seven at the most. But, yeah, he's like a tall guy. Seems like comparatively fit, comparatively healthy.
Yeah, all these guys are like honorary power forwards for like Wisconsin.
Right, that's the thing. They all have that like, because again, they suffer by comparison to like the people around them and stuff. But they're all just like 6'5 dudes. Yeah, like they definitely do all look like rotation guys at Wisconsin. Like someone like high-fiving Bronson Koenig, asking who his assignment is.
Here's an easy one, Cam.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cam can dunk. Here's, I think, a bit harder one. Jameis.
Yeah, Jameis is, it's weird because he's kind of a blocky boy, isn't he?
Like he is, and when guy. He makes mistakes, he looks so supremely unathletic when he fucks up on the field.
Yeah, like I remember him in college and he looked like a god.
Yes.
But yeah, in the NFL, like he definitely is like such a doofus that it's very easy for me to imagine him not being able to do it. Like the if he hadn't done the, like, let's eat this W pregame motivational speech, I'd be like, yeah, probably. But, like, somehow seeing him do that, I'm like, I don't know how I could square in my mind a guy that's that big a dork being able to do something as definitively cool as dunking.
I will say that he can dunk, but I would not be happy to see him.
Yeah, I have my doubts, but they're all, it's like a, you know, a wish that my heart has made.
Here comes another Big Ten power forward, Jared Goff. Can he dunk?
You know, I guess probably. I mean, like it's weird though. That's another guy that seems like he'd be super good at golf and maybe not as good at other stuff.
Yeah, I tend to give a lot of benefit to the doubt to the younger guys where I'm like, if they're a young guy and they're an NFL player, it seems like they should be able to dunk.
And he's mobile and all that.
Yep.
Which is, again, it's like the idea of being like, oh, how good is this guy at the high jump? Like he's a pretty solid distance runner. Is that where we're at with this? I think probably Jared Goff can dunk, but again, it wouldn't be that cool when he did it.
Here's another tricky one. Russell Wilson.
Short.
Short. Insane athlete.
Yes.
Probably the most, I love watching him play. He's such a complete fucking cheesy dipshit, but he's amazing on the fucking
Which
field.
Is another like awesome type of NFL quarterback. Like it's not the same thing as Philip Rivers, but like Philip Rivers is a guy where like if he sat next to you on the bus, you would not be pleased. Because right. he'd smell like strongly of like vinegar or like ham, and he'd be blinking and wearing like a bolo tie. It would be weird. But
he'd
like
he'd be holding eight babies too.
Yeah, right. His like quiverful ass approach to being alive. And yet like is clearly a genius athlete. Just because he's like a bizarre, like, just character out of a fucking Charles Portis novel does not mean that he's not a super athlete. Russell Wilson's an amazing athlete. I think it would be cool to watch Russell Wilson dunk, because anytime somebody under 6 feet tall dunks, it feels kind of like a miracle.
Oh, yeah. I still remember Spud Webb dunking.
Yeah.
I forgot to say it before, but it's like Stafford and Rivers are those two guys where, like, they have one completely healthy game per season. The rest of the time, they have 8 different hyperextensions all over their body, from like their tip of their brain to their fucking pinky toe, and they're just gutting their way through it, perhaps stupidly.
Yeah, the saddest to me is Stafford, because he's so fucking brave with that, and the team is just always lame.
Yep.
I remember there was one game where he scored a touchdown with a dislocated shoulder on a quarterback sneak. Do you remember this?
I believe that was the Brady Quinn shootout,
yeah,
right?
There was like audio of it, because he was like hiding from the coaches. They were trying to get him out of the game, and he was like ducking around and like shed his parka and ran on the field and then scored. And it's like, that's such an, you know, it's dumb. Like, I wouldn't tell anybody I'm friends with to do it, but like, that's heroic in the football context. And it was like that, it's like that Homer Simpson fantasy where he imagines being John Elway and he scores a touchdown and then the Broncos lose the Super Bowl 52-7.
Right.
Like, this is like him doing that so he could beat Brady Quinn in a game that was like his team's 8th or 9th win. Like, could that possibly be worth it?
And it was an amazing game too. But I'm totally with you. It'd be one of those things where I would be like, well, the NFL's not responsible. You know, they shouldn't let him out there. Well, at the same time, I'm watching it and be like, that is awesome.
Yeah, it's the coolest thing I've ever... As long as it's not your brain, like, he's not going to die of a dislocated shoulder. You know, I guess it's at that point, it's, you know, your choice.
Jimmy Garoppolo. The injured Jimmy Garoppolo.
I don't feel like he's handsome enough to be able to dunk. probably, right? He's like a tall guy.
Is he too distracted by dating porn stars?
Love that was his particular... And it wasn't like, an age-appropriate porn star. Like, he was dating... It's clear, like, just that the guy's whole, you know, Pornhub search history was revealed by his choice in date. But yeah, sure, I believe in Jimmy Garoppolo. You can date whoever he wants, and you can probably dunk with 2 hands.
Here's another tough one. Kyler Murray, the number one pick of the Cardinals. Very insane athlete, but a short fella.
Yeah, 6 feet.
Under
tall.
6 feet.
I mean, it's weird because he could definitely be like a Russell Wilson type where he's like instantly good at every sport.
That's what they're counting on.
Yeah. I mean, with the baseball stuff was weird though, because he was drafted extremely high, but I don't think that he was ever like a refined prospect there. Like, it's not the sort of, like, obviously he had a great throwing arm and he could run fast and everything like that, but I think he was like a collection of tools as opposed to a player, which makes sense given that he was like 19 or whatever when he was drafted.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't rule out Kyler Murray dunking for the same reason that I wouldn't rule out like Russell Wilson dunking, but as I am trying to imagine it, it's sort of difficult to do.
There's no vertical jump listed for him because he did not attend the combine,
right?
So I can't.
Savvy play. See, maybe he knows something that we don't.
I think he knows many things that we don't.
Probably.
By the way, that Cardinals team, look at the standings. They were outscored last year by 200 points in aggregate.
Is that bad? I don't follow football very closely, but that seems more than 10 points per game seems bad.
That is astonishing. Last one. Well, we really spent a generous amount of time on this question.
Fine.
Let's go quick. We have Dak. Can he dunk?
Yeah. Right.
Can Carson Wentz dunk?
I think that's another guy that was a good high school basketball player. I wouldn't rule out Carson Wentz dunking.
Yeah, like a sort of a Frank Kaminsky style dunk. Although, again, like other players, he would injure 9 different organs.
Right. Like a cool dunk, but then somehow like all of his vertebrae go flying off and are raised out the floor. Yep.
Yeah. Like, he's got the new contract, but he'll rupture a pancreas in no time.
Yep. It's a tough game that way.
Let's go to the skin. So we have, you get to pick from 2. You have fresh drafty Dwayne Haskins, and then you have Case Keenum, who essentially is the seat holder.
Right. So Keenum is little and was a great...
He's a little dude.
Great scrambler in college, but not necessarily a fresh specimen here. Haskins is infamously kind of a plotter, right? It would be weird if Haskins couldn't dunk, because he's, as we discussed in the NFL draft episode some time ago, he can also make throws that, like, I've legit never seen a college player make. I want to believe that he can't dunk, that he's like, that's like the next generation Brady thing, that he's only good at like 2 things.
No, I think he can dunk because I think he looks unathletic and then he plays and then you're like, well, no, he's athletic.
Yeah, I mean, so he's coordinated. This is like the thing that we keep being like, I think it's like the main point of confusion here, right? That like coordination versus athleticism, like not just being explosive.
Well, dunking does require pure athleticism to some degree, right? I can be the most coordinated guy in the world, but if I'm still me, I can't see him.
I was going to say, I've pulled my own hamstring chasing a long rebound on a court where there was no other person. Like, I'm sure there's nothing, you can't lower the rim enough that it would work.
All right, well, then let's get to the final one. Daniel Jones of the Giants. Yes. Dave Gettleman says he can dunk.
King. Yeah, he can fucking dunk. He can do anything that Vince Carter's done in a slam dunk contest. Just imagine Daniel Jones doing it, and that's real. Arm in the net, it's nothing. Jumping over Frederick Weiss? Yeah, sure. I don't have a hard time imagining that at all. Just because he looks like an actual baby, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be able to do it. I bet he can dunk, because he's supposed to be a good athlete, but...
I'll err on the side of a rookie QB and say he can dunk. Yeah, I think he can dunk. So that was a fun exercise. Let's take a break and come back.
Okay.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're back. It's time. We're going to close out the fun bag and end this exercise. Russell writes in, as I watched the trailer for the new Terminator movie, I got angry because I know there is a 14% chance this movie will be any good. And 14% may be generous. Yet I know I'm still going to go see the fucking thing. Those kind of assholes who got me by the balls with T2 Judgment Day. What's the movie franchise you love so much you'll keep seeing new ones even though they are shit? And you leave the theater feeling like a schmuck because you knew better.
So I have had a number of these, and I've successfully rid myself of almost all of them. And I would love to, like, tell you how to be like me in that regard. But mostly it's just that, like, I don't have that much free time, and I'm married to somebody that doesn't care as much about the Aliens franchise as me. I have loved those movies. And the ones that are good, I love dearly. Like, I'll defend the stupid David Fincher Prison Planet one. I think that's fine. Like... But at some point when they got really grandiose, they started as like just a fucking cheap monster movie on like fogged sets with good actors.
Yeah, it was a B-movie.
Yeah, and it's perfect. Like Alien is one of my favorite movies. Aliens, actually also one of my favorite movies. Like I think they're both great. And yet like after that, like the idea that now, this is the problem I think with all the big franchises of that kind is it's the bloat. You know, that they get self-important. And, like, Terminator, like, the first Terminator is scuzzy. Like, it just cheap, looks like shit. Just, like, kind of like a gross Los Angeles thing. I mean, it's an excellent movie. That's
why it looks perfect.
Yeah. And T2, I think, is a better movie and I love dearly. But, yeah, like, at some point, once you're doing this thing where it's like, we need to, like, settle the legacy and you're on, like, you know, whatever, number 5 and everybody, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger's there and you're just kind of looking, like, poached. I think at some point you realize that these are like more upsetting to you than not. Like for me, I didn't even finish watching the Star Wars prequels and I was so excited when those came out, but I was just like, this is actually bad. I remember like going back and watching the actual original ones again, where I was like, did I miss something? Like, has this always sucked? And they don't suck. They're good. It's just,
no, they're good movies.
Yeah.
Do you have one? Because they had actual proper screenwriters and the prequels did.
Yeah. That's right. I mean, they just like turned it over to George Lucas's big meatball brain and got what they got. Is there one that you stick with or that you've stayed sticking with?
I don't know that there's a franchise that I have stuck with now, like in my, because I never get to watch movies anymore.
Right. It's kind of the same for me.
There were definitely, but you know, definitely back in the day, like I saw all the Porky's movies. Because I was a teenager, so I was like, well, there might be boobs in this one, you know. And like they're horrible movies. And like the first one is like a weird like revenge tale of like this guy gets his ass kicked at like a brothel and all this stuff. It's very,
yeah.
It's like, it's dark. It's unpleasantly dark.
I feel like all those 80s ones are like, you know, in terms of the ones that I've rewatched, I've rewatched Ski School for the Hallmark podcast I do with Jeff London. It, like I've seen it on Channel 11. You edit the boobs out of that movie and it's about 55 minutes long, but it is, it's baffling. Like, it's like a fucking fever dream. It's impossible to tell what's happening. No one cares. Everybody's always partying. So it's this kind of like Animal House-y, but like, it doesn't have the tight plotting and savvy performances of Animal House. Like, it's just like a bunch of 80s guys wearing like Varney sweatshirts.
I definitely watched Revenge of the Nerds 2, Nerds in Paradise 2. And I saw like more than once.
Yeah, so. That's the thing when you're, because like when you're young and you can watch all these movies, like you and I growing up around the same time, that like, I don't think I liked any of the Police Academy movies, but I'm certain that I've seen all of them.
Oh, I saw all of them.
I don't
no
feel
doubt.
Great about that.
Oh, I loved the first one. I loved. I even loved the theme. I loved like the opening credits. I was like, dun, 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 dun.
Oh yeah, that is actually a good theme. It is
it was
kind of
great.
Weird too, because it was. I remember reading Roger Ebert's very critical review of it when I was in high school, and that was like I had to reappraise it. But his big thing was like, this is supposed to be a satire, but like, what is it satirizing? Like, what is the genre of like oddballs go to a police academy and look up girls' skirts? Like, what is it? Is that like a thing? And even in high school, I was like, oh, you know what? Actually, I'm not really sure what this is a satire of. And like, you didn't need to know that like what the Naked Gun movies were making fun of to know that they were funny. Whereas
right.
Police Academy was just on some very weird shit.
They're going to reboot Police Academy and it's gonna be all wrong.
Oh, I'd love to do it grim and dark.
that would be even worse.
Citizens on patrol, but it's like...
Greetings, Commissioner.
That guy, G.W. Bailey, is still on TV. He's on Major Crimes, which is a show that you would definitely see if you, like me, watch the NBA games on TNT and then just turn the TV off when it's over. And the next thing that you see when you turn it on, because like TNT only has like three or four shows, it's like you get G.W. Bailey still looking exactly the same, playing like a kindly
like,
cop. Yeah. Which is great.
Oh, that's fucking funny. I think, first of all, I am on record as saying they should stop making Terminator movies because they just... I didn't watch any of the ones after T2 because I was just like, whatever. It's done. Like, they ended it the way they should have ended it. They're just going to keep fucking up if they try to bring it back. And
yeah.
All that.
Well, it's weird. With like,
But then I did watch the trailer for the new Terminator and I was like, wow. He lives in a cabin now.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. I remember we were talking about this, that like kind of the effects in it are like maybe not that good in the trailer. Like, it doesn't look as like what was cool about the. I mean, T2 had the Robert Patrick shit, which was obviously the T-1000 stuff, which is extremely cool. And I think still looks cool. Like, it doesn't look like completely state of the art, but it's neat. But there were always a ton of like cool practical stunts in those, like truck related things.
Yeah, they had the motorcycle in a fucking canal, like a dry canal. They had all sorts of great like real stunts, like Fast and Furious has now.
Yeah, I think if a movie emphasizes that, like if a sequel decided that, like, not to get like grim and gritty or whatever, but those like practical stunts, that's like the cheat for me now. That Fury Road, like the Mad Max sequel, which like all of that stuff was like, I was in awe. Like, I was like what I felt like when I was a kid watching a movie, because it was like so clearly real and like fucking terrifying.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think a lot of times now, the people holding on to like franchise stuff is more of a phenomenon in television. Mm-hmm. So like I'll watch the new season of Stranger Things when it comes out. I'll watch all the Stranger Things, even though it's bound to start to jump the shark and start sucking at some point.
Yeah.
Like, there was one episode last season that everyone hated, and there'll be more episodes like that. And I already know that's coming, but it's not going to make me give up on the
show. It's weird that they keep those things around as long as they do. I mean, I understand the economics of it, and that's just sort of how that is. But every show, like the first two seasons, and I like some of the third of Arrested Development, is like basically my favorite shit that's been on TV. Like, the most I've laughed, you know, non-Simpsons division. And yet, like, even that, when you bring it back and like the vibes are sour, it sucks. Like, and even there, like, I didn't finish watching all the episodes on Netflix because, like, why would I want to do that?
Yeah, it would be like, there's always like some movie where like, like a parent comes back from the dead or something, and like the kid's happy, but something's kind of wrong.
Yep.
Something's kind of off, you know? And
yeah.
Like, I don't like my new undead dad.
Yeah, this is all like every series gets buried in the pet cemetery now, and then you just have to wait for it to show up and haunt you.
Here is your Trump question of the week. It comes from Rob. He says, please know I wouldn't write to you to argue about something trivial. Roth, in particular, always refers to Trump as our wet president, or where a very wet man, soggy, etc. I don't know the origin of this, and my contention is that he's abnormally dry. My reasoning, he's constantly drinking Diet Coke and probably doesn't drink water. For the same type of galaxy brain reasons, he doesn't work out. He definitely doesn't wear bronzer with moisturizer in it, as you consider that too effeminate or gay, but does wear a lot of it. He sounds like he has cotton mouth all the time. His hair looks damaged and crispy. All the sniffing. He physically exerts himself as little as possible, so not a lot of sweating. And finally, he's a proud practitioner of the highest sodium diet in human history. No one can eat that much fast food and not be dehydrated all the time. What do you think, Roth, of Rob's contention that rather than being our big wet president, he is our big dry president?
So Rob makes an extremely compelling case. I respect
it. He does.
He just really laid it out, stem to stern. All I can do is tip my cap. I think that
did not even mention that Trump is sober.
Yeah,
and does not
dry
drink.
In that sense as well. Yeah,
yep, literally dry.
So my contention would be that both can be true. Like obviously he's like a powdery, dusty guy. Of course he doesn't drink water. I can't even imagine how dehydrated he is all the time because it's like 75% of his diet is just French fried.
Right, right.
But go ahead.
Go. No, go ahead.
So to me, like the wetness thing, I've been asked about this in the past, which is always an embarrassing thing to have to say out loud. But so to me, it's less literal because you don't often see him, as Rob points out, looking like sweaty or whatever. Like when he's done like playing golf or whatever, he kind of like pinks up a little bit. Like,
right.
But it's like when you cook a ballpark frank and it gets slightly larger, you know, like it does not change its essence. And I think his essence is dry, but what I mean, like, wet, I mean, like, in the sense that I always imagined him having, like, just fucked up in some weird way and showing up, like, he just, like, fell in a lake. And then he shows up and is like, I'm fine, actually. I've never been in a lake at any time. And so, like, or, like, wet in the sense that he, like, got, like, a giant pot of honey stuck on his head, like Winnie the Pooh or something like that. Like, that he's damp, you know, in the sense that he's just, like, he's just failed at something and he's denying it. And so there's that. But I don't think that he, like, personally speaking, I think, like, dryness is, like, next to neatness in his, like, sort of idea of, like, what it means to be clean and not germy. Does that make sense to you?
I assumed you always were referring to his brain, which I assume is just marinating in Hawaiian punch all the time.
Oh, yes. That's what I imagine is, like, just an old, like, a plum suspended in, a globe of Sprite.
I do not believe, unlike Rob, I do not believe that Trump has to exert himself in order to sweat. I think he is sweating in various crevices at all times, all the fucking time.
Great to think about.
But other places where if you touch him, it's probably like touching very spongy dryer lint.
That's another, yes, that's another thing about him too. That I feel like part of it is just that I imagine it makes like a squishing sound when he moves, like in the sense that he's just like, he's not right. Like just the substance of him is not right.
Yeah, parts of him are eternally moist and disgusting. Other parts of him are just absolutely fucking desiccated, where if you touch him, it's like touching fucking Tut's tomb or some shit like that. This show is produced by our executive director of audio, Mondana Mafidi. We featured music by Corbin Hayes. The episode was mixed by the one and only Jamie Collazo. If you have a question you want to send us, send a voice note or email to deadcast@desmond.com or tweet us using the hashtag deadcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Panoply, NPR One, or wherever else you get your podcast. All right. Bye. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
See you, Roth.
Yep. See you, dudes.
See ya.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.